Vox Pop, the show that travels America to bring you the voice of the people, thanks to the makers of... Tonight, Vox Pop travels to Seattle, Washington, to visit one of our country's most unique and outstanding war industries, that of building wooden arched huts for Army use in Alaska and the Pacific area. They're called Pacific Huts. And here are your two Vox Poppers, Parks Johnson and Warren Hull. Come in, Seattle, Washington.
Yes, sir, folks, this is Parks Johnson.
And this is Warren Hull, and all that hammering you heard is only a small part of the tremendous activity that goes into the building of a Pacific hut.
Say, Warren, just what is a Pacific hut, you know? Well, I'll tell you, at least what I think it is. It's a wooden house shaped something like an elongated igloo. It measures about 36 feet by 16 feet, and one complete Pacific hut comes off the production line here every 10 minutes. Now, even though that hut weighs 4.5 tons... 5 inexperienced men can put it up in 8 hours.
You know, this is one of the nation's outstanding war plants. Everybody's busy and everybody's happy, and it's largely because of one man's idea.
Yes, and before we bring you the men who are really out there in the shop building these things, we want you to meet the man who's behind the hut. He's a World War I veteran and one of Seattle's livest, getting-it-donest individuals. Folks, we want you to meet the president of Pacific Huts, Mr. Frank Hobbs. Mr. Hobbs, or may I call you Frank?
That's right. That's my name.
Tell me, what does make this outfit of yours click so smoothly and everybody seems so happy and so busy and put out the stuff as fast as they do? What's the answer?
Because we've got men here. We've got the cream of the crop.
You say...
We've got the best that there are anywhere.
You say men. You don't talk as if you consider this as a mass of people.
The man that I talk of is the man that is interested in doing the one thing that we have to do today. It's the man that's looking for action, and whether he be 16 or 60, if he's looking for that action, he's a man.
And that's the way you bring all this about?
That's it.
That's your philosophy?
That's right.
He's an individual. He's part of the job.
That's right.
And he gets action.
That's the thing.
Well, Mr. Hobbs, you folks are certainly hanging up records around here. Haven't you hung up quite a little bit of them?
Yes, we have.
I understood one of the men to say, though, that you didn't hang up any records, that they were hanging them up, that you just kept them. How about that?
Well, that is true. As far as the folks in the office, they just keep the records. It's the boys out in the plant that really make them.
Well, who you think we ought to interview first around here? Look around and pick out a man. How about it, Warren? Mr. Hobbs?
I think that Bovier is your man. He's our groundskeeper.
Thank you very much.
That keeps this plant looking so nice and clean.
Well, folks, you know, when they started production here, they turned out one Pacific hut every 20 minutes. Now they've cut it down to 10, so you can see they really make the dust fly and the sawdust. And as Mr. Hobbs said, here's the man who keeps the plant clean. He's foreman of the cleanup crew from Seattle, 56, and a very genial gent, Charles Bovier, Jr. So, Charlie, you don't look 56. Do you feel 56?
Well, I tell you, sometimes when I get up in the morning, I feel like I'm 80. Then when I get to playing with my grandchildren, why, I feel that I'm 16, and then there are nights when I feel that I'm just 21.
Oh. Charlie, they say that you're a very meticulous housekeeper around here.
Who? What?
Oh, I don't have a... That means, I guess, that you don't sweep anything under the carpet, is that right?
Well, the thing of it is, we haven't any carpets to sweep them under.
No, well, why is it so important that you keep the plant clean here?
Well, there are several good reasons why we have to keep the plant clean. One is sanitary purposes, and the other is fire hazards. We must keep the fire hazards down, because if we had a fire, we'd burn up our jobs.
Well, you don't want that. How do you get in and clean up during the day when the men are working at top speed?
Well, we just do the best we can during the day, and then during the rest periods and at noon, my men are in all of the different departments cleaning up under the machine.
What do you mean, you have rest periods here?
Yes, sure. We have rest period, 15-minute rest period, every morning and every afternoon.
Well, that's, I know the men need them for the way they work, but it's a little unusual. Doesn't that slow down production?
No, we find that the men will work harder after they get back from a rest period than they will if they don't have these rest periods.
Mm-hmm. They really,
really
get it.
Quickens it up.
Mm-hmm. Charlie, you're a foreman. We've heard about this foreman's club you have here. What does it do?
The purpose of the foreman's club is really, firstly, to take and produce more huts for our soldiers wherever they are. It's a comfortable home for them wherever they are over the seas.
Mm-hmm. Well, is there anything else that the foreman have done?
Oh, yes. We, of course, in connection with the Dads and Vets Club, we put on a drive the other day for records. And on these radio records, we raised over $10,000 for radio records.
Oh, for the American Legion.
For the American Legion drive.
Well,
now we have in mind putting on another drive for a blood bank for the Army.
Well, it's a mighty fine outfit, the Foreman's Club. I can see that, and I can see also it's no wonder you like to work here. Charlie, Vox Pop and Bromo Seltzer have for you a couple of things we hope you'll like. We have a fine tool chest. It has felt-lined drawers, and it'll hold all sorts of gadgets of yours, tools and everything. And also, here's an order for a very special easy chair for you to relax in. I think it has to be sort of special for you. And Mrs. Bovier told us about your chicken. So we have a 100-pound bag of Albert's Egg Maker Mash, and for your rabbits, which are multiply rabbitly, we have a 100-pound bag of Albert's Rabbit Family Ration. Good luck to you. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
Folks, it just wouldn't be Vox Pop if we didn't hear from Miss Casey, the pretty miss who puts the words in the mouth of our talking Vox Pop train. So come in, Casey, give.
By Jiminy! Three ways!
Bromadelta. Whoa there, Casey. You better run through that first part again. A lady riveter out in Detroit didn't quite get it.
By Jiminy! Three ways!
Fight common sick headache three ways with Bromo Seltzer. That's especially important to remember these days when most of us are working at top speed, undergoing nervous strain and tension. For what's the good of relieving the pain in your head and doing nothing for those jangled nerves and that upset stomach? But when you take a Bromo Seltzer, three things happen. First,
Bromo Seltzer quickly relieves headache pain.
Second,
Bromo Seltzer helps calm jumpy nerves.
And third,
Bromo Seltzer helps settle upset stomach.
So don't settle for anything that does less for you than Bromo Seltzer. Use it only as directed on the label. For persistent or recurring headaches, see your doctor. For quick, effective relief from common sick headache, take a tip from our talking train.
Buy the headache three ways.
Some more with the Pacific Hut men. And folks, by the way, tonight Vox Pop is on 120 CBS stations, and we're happy to know that our Florida stations are back with us again. And we want to greet all of those new listeners who perhaps are listening to Vox Pop for the first time. Welcome to the show. Folks all over the country, 15, 16, and 17-year-old boys are doing man's work. Lots of them are here at Pacific Huts. That is, until school starts, until they get into uniform. We have here with us at the microphone a 17-year-old from Oklahoma. He's about 5'3", looks like he weighs 130 pounds, and I understand he was trained and sent here through the National Youth Administration. Folks, from Durant, Oklahoma, Herman Plata. Hi, Herman. Say, they don't really call you Herman, do they?
No, they call me Shorty around here.
Shorty, huh? Well, Shorty seems to fit you. Shorty, how do you like the climate here after you left Oklahoma?
Well, I'm beginning to grow and putting on a little weight.
Atta boy, it really is good. I'm telling you that. This is wonderful country. Are you an only child from your family?
No, we have a rather large family.
How many brothers and sisters?
I have three brothers and four sisters.
And you make the eight. Uh-huh. Any up in uniform?
I have two brothers in the service.
What are they in?
Marine and Army.
That's the stuff. Say, how'd you happen to get out here at Pacific Huts? How'd you happen to find your way here?
Well, I've heard a lot about building huts, so...
You mean down there in Oklahoma?
Way down there in Oklahoma,
right about
yes.
The old Pacific Huts. Well, yeah. I know what you heard, because here you are. What is your job here?
Well, I'm in the crating department.
Crating what?
The huts.
Oh, you mean after they are all built, they're shipped in many sections.
That's right.
Crate them up.
We crate them up.
I see. Well, how'd you start in here? What were you doing?
Well, I started in nailing.
Mailing? Yes. Just like these fellows are mailing on the air to start this thing off?
Yes.
Say, is this a pretty good place to work?
It's a fine place.
What makes you say that?
Well, you don't work too hard.
You don't.
Well...
Now, wait a minute. that calls for a little explanation, Shorty. How you mean you don't work too hard? Don't you put
in
the hours?
Now, say it this way. You work steady, but you don't work too hard. You get plenty of good meals and plenty of rest.
How do you mean plenty of rest?
Well, you know that 15 minutes...
That really comes in, huh?
It sure does.
Seriously, Shorty, don't you find that 15 minutes in the morning and in the afternoon makes you really do more work than
otherwise?
Yes,
sure does. Yeah.
Say, I'd like to get a little personal. You're 17 years old, and I have one or two questions I would like to ask, if you don't mind.
Go right ahead.
How much money you make here a week?
$52.
Uh-huh. You save any of it?
Yes, I save about 25.
You do save $25 a week? That's pretty good. What do you do with the rest of it, Shorty?
Well... I pay my room and board, that's...
Yes,
comes in.
Yeah.
And then I set a little back. Well, you boys know, I had a little fun, though.
Why, certainly. Man's entitled a little fun, I'll say that, too. Have you got a girl up here? Never mind. Oklahoma may be listening in, Shorty. Shorty, tell me, how is the beer in Seattle?
Well, I don't know. Haven't got a answer.
You mean you don't drink?
No, I don't drink.
I thought I would get that answer if I asked Shorty that question, so I asked it deliberately and took a chance, and it's just because Warren and I want to tell you fathers and mothers back home. We know that there are hundreds and hundreds of thousands of these youngsters all over the country. We've seen them north, east, south, and west. And we want to tell you that they know what's going on, and they're taking care of themselves, and you don't have to worry about them a bit. Say, Shorty, you ever get homesick?
Well, not necessarily, but... every once in a while, I'd like to see home, yes.
I don't blame you. I see you wearing cowboy boots there. That sort of makes me sort of homesick, too. Can you ride a horse?
Well, a little, yes.
A little, huh? Can you sing cowboy ballads?
I wouldn't go too far on that.
Well, Shorty, they tell me that you're pretty good on that singing, and that you like to play a little pick of guitar or something like that. So, now, wait a minute. We've got you a beautiful, natural, finished six-string guitar in a case. So you can really accompany yourself on those ballads. How about it, Dave? You got that? All right. Now, Shorty. Wait a minute, fella. Wait a minute. Now then, for your next present, we're going to give you your choice. What would you like Bromo Seltzer and Vox Pop to trot out here next? You've heard the program. What would you like to have?
Well, I believe it, dare have a watch.
Dave, have you got an extra watch out there? Yes, he has. That, Shorty, is a beautiful Boulevard watch. We hope you enjoyed very much, and we've certainly enjoyed having you on Vox Pop. Thank you a lot. All right, Warren.
Thank you, Todd. Well, folks, there's a real Detroit-style production line here at Pacific Cuts with some new wrinkles of their own and some very ingenious machinery. Many of the men work in crews. Now, here's one who does nothing but apply black mastic, that old black mastic, a waterproof glue to the ribs of the hut, just like a chef decorating a cake. He's 46, from Endicott, Washington, Edmund Litzenberger. Ed, how did you happen to come here to Pacific Cuts to work?
Well, I first noticed her ad in the paper, and I kept my eye on that ad for quite a little while before I took a notion to come down here, and I did.
What did the ad say that attracted you?
Well, it said they wanted good workmen, and if you want to really get busy and get to work, that'd be a good place. And believe me, when I come down here after I was here an hour, I was sure convinced. Boy, we hit the ball down here.
Well, you do have the finest beer here at Pacific Cuts that we've ever seen. Ed, do you have any sons in the service?
One in the Coast Guard and one in the Navy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, have you seen them lately?
No, but the oldest boy, we got word that he's on his way home from overseas, folks, and I'm sure it's thrilled.
Well, we hope you have a good time with him when he gets back here to see you. What do you do in your spare time?
Well, sir, I entertain at Army camps, Navy, and the Coast Guards, and any place that they want me to entertain.
Around
In and around Seattle. I've played for every camp.
Well, what do you do? Do you have an axe or what?
Well, I do top dancing, spin rope, and I specialize in rattling the old Negro bones.
You mean dice?
No, the old regular old Negro bones.
Oh, those
right
things.
Here.
Oh, they look like some old spare ribs to me.
Well, maybe.
I'm ashamed to confess, Ed, that I've never heard them, but I sure like to. You always carry them around with you?
Well, most of the time, yeah.
Well, look, would you give out just a little bit there?
I will. I'll give the boys a sample right now. Here we go.
Okay.
Well,
Thank you.
Oh, that's wonderful. You can really, really throw them around. Say, Ed, we want to thank you for coming up here and talking to us. And we have for you, Box Pop and Bromo Seltzer, number one, it's something that we all can use and we all need more of, a war bond. And to spruce you up on a Sunday morning when you go walking down the street there, we have a very fine, very good-looking Stetson hat. And for your wife, we have a two-piece silk jersey dress. It has a flowered top and a Chinese red skirt. Also for her, we have a flat. It's not what you think. It's a flat of luscious, fresh-picked raspberries. Washington's best. Oh, boy, I'd like to have some of that jam. Thank you, and good luck to you.
Thank you.
Folks, it's always a thrill for Warren and me to get a letter from you, but when it's a letter like this one from Mrs. August V. Plitt of Baltimore, Maryland, we get a double thrill. Mrs. Plitt writes,
Box Pop has always given us a lot of pleasure, and we think Bromo Seltzer is grand, too. It certainly has been a big help to us lately. These days, my husband is working longer and harder hours than ever. He's a bookbinder, and right now is helping to make navigation books for the Navy. Naturally, he has to keep feeling his best to do justice to his work. But working indoors and standing for many hours in the same spot, he gets an occasional common sick headache. He's discovered, though, that Bromo Seltzer gives him such quick, effective relief, helps him feel better so soon, that he doesn't have to take time out. Now he keeps a small bottle right at work, so he'll be sure to have it when he needs it.
And, folks, that's a good idea for everybody these vital wartime days. Incidentally, you can take Bromo Seltzer while it's still fizzing or after it settles down. The important thing is to tell your druggist,
I want a bottle of Bromo Seltzer, please.
Say, you folks out there listening, do you think you're pretty good at nail driving? Well, tonight we've got two champions here at the Pacific Huts, and they sure can drive nails but fast.
Yes, folks, we're about to have a nail driving contest. We're giving each man 50 nails, and we'll see who sinks them first. All right, here at my right is lefty John Beauchart from Edmonds, Washington. At my left is righty Wesley Wentz from Seattle. Now, some of our audience, of course, are going to cheer for lefty and some for righty. So let's go and may the best nail driver win. Okay, Parks, you start.
Okay,
off,
boys, and remember something I haven't told you, that the winner gets a $25 war bond. Are you ready? I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to say ready, get set, go. See? All right, ready, get set, go.
Well, that was mighty fine. That's practically a tie to my way of thinking. I think both John and righty, both lefty and righty, should get the bond. All right, boys, step over here and get your bond.
Okay, Warren, that was really dumb nail driving. Those were two craftsmen, but there are many, many others just as good here at Pacific Huts. The organization here is broken down in such a way that it takes just a few days to train a man for any particular job around this plant. Now, here's a man who's a nailer, and he's a nailer, too, and he loves his job. Folks, from the old hometown of Shelton, Iowa, but now from Seattle, we want you to know Claude Jackson. Hiya, Claude.
Hiya, Art.
Say, Jack, beside nailing, what did you rather do, huh?
Fish.
Oh, fish. You're a pretty good fisherman?
That's right.
What'd you catch around here? Nothing but salmon, I reckon.
Trout.
Trout? What kind?
Lots of them. Rainbows, cutthroats.
How big do the rainbows get around here?
I got a 23-inch one a couple weeks ago.
Wait a minute. Say that again.
23-incher.
23-inch rainbow trout?
That's right.
Well, that's all right, I guess. I've got to see one of them. I haven't seen one yet, but, man, I'd love to see one of those things. What's your job here at Pacific Huts?
Nailer.
Nailing what?
The bands on braces.
That's just the bands that keep the ribs, the various
that's
ribs
right,
that go around apart, uh-huh. Say, I noticed you got a finger bandage there. What do? The hammer slip off a nail?
No, that's fishing trip.
Oh, back to fishing, huh? They told me I'd run into a fisherman around here. Say, Jack, confidentially, what kind of an outfit is the Pacific Huts to work for?
The best ever.
Why do you say that?
The men all work together, and they will go out of their way to do things right, and they work fast.
Uh-huh. It just is a good spirit here, I know.
It's a good spirit all the way through.
Well, I guess you know it, that the Pacific Huts has practically no absentee problem. It's one of the lowest of any of the outfits in the whole United States.
That's right.
Can you tell me why that is?
Well, we figure on it's a production line, an assembly line. If one or two men are gone, it slows them all down. So they all try to be here every day and as much as they can.
That's right. And then, of course, it's doing a job for the boys, isn't it?
That's right.
Say, Jack, you look to me, you're about 40, is that right?
That's right.
How long ago did infantile paralysis hit you?
When I was six.
6 years old?
Yes, sir.
Let's see, that'd be about 34 years. You can't stand, Jack. What kind of a snivy do you use to nail? How can you operate there?
I have nothing at all, only just a stool up the bench.
I see.
Stool to sit
on the stool and they shove this stuff about. Say, I use the word snivy. You know what a snivy is? Can you tell the folks?
No, I can't.
Well, I'll try to explain it. A snivy is a word that they coined here at Pacific Guts that is a brainwork and a gadget. If you haven't got a machine to do a job, a fella figures one out, and that's called a snivy. Say, where do you live, Jack? Here, in Seattle. What, in an apartment? Alone?
No, out in the south end in a trailer.
In a trailer?
Yes, sir.
All electrified and everything?
Yes, sir.
Do you do your own cooking?
Yes, sir.
I like to come around and eat one of those fish, yeah.
Well, that'll be swell.
Well, Jack, we certainly enjoyed talking to you. You know that you're a man that asks no quarter, that you've taken care of yourself and doing a heck of a good job of many a time. And we appreciate having you up here with us this afternoon. Now, for a real fisherman, we got a couple of things that we think a real fisherman would like. First of all, it's a light three-section bamboo fly rod and lots of line. Is that all right? That look like...
Oh, that is wonderful. Yes, sir. That's dandy.
All right, to go with it, we've got one of those Shakespeare President automatic reels. And the two of them together ought to do a good job.
Wonderful.
Can you use it?
Yes, sir.
Thank you a lot, Jack.
Thank you a lot.
Bye,
that was all right.
Folks, these Pacific Cuts arrive in Alaska or the Aleutians created in just 18 sections. And as you've heard, five of our Army engineers up there can put one up in a day. Now, that night, 16 soldiers can have warmth and shelter at 50 below. Now, here's one of the men helping to provide that. He's a bander. He runs a machine that draws steel bands around the crates, readying them for shipment. He's 24, 3A in the draft from Clinton, Oklahoma, Clarence Buck Kane. Say, Buck, we've noticed the men really hit the ball around here. Do you mind working so fast?
I sure don't. When you work fast, your time goes by fast.
So the day doesn't drag.
That's right.
And you get home sooner, it seems, huh?
Sure.
Well, I bet you're glad to get home at night, though. What do you do, put your feet up and relax?
I should say not. My wife makes me climb the cherry tree. It has been every night. Pick cherries.
Oh, she's canning, huh? Making cherry jelly or something?
Nope, she's canning them up to make pies with this winter.
Cherry pie. My mother and one other make the best cherry pie I've ever eaten. Of course, with a piece of cheese with it. Are you a cheese man, too? You
go boy.
Say, Buck, what were you doing back in Oklahoma?
Well, I was born and raised on a farm. I guess I'll always be a farmer.
Mm-hmm. Well, then you don't have any trouble getting up mornings, do you?
Oh, no. I always get up, set the clock, and... alarm goes off at 15 till 6.
Yeah.
I lay there and think it over. I usually get up about 15 after 6.
You're one of those slow risers, huh?
Yep.
Buck, will you like it so much here that you'll want to stay in the city after the war?
Oh, no. You can take me back to wide open spaces where I can really holler.
Yeah?
out here, if you holler, a cop comes along and says, buddy, you better come along with me. You drank too much.
Okay. All right. Well, are you going to get a farm of your own?
Sure am. I'm saving up war bonds and what cash I can save. I'm going to buy my farm when I go back home.
Well, good luck to you. We hope that you get that farm. And sometime after the war, we hope we can drive by on our way to some Vox Pop location and say hello to you. And for you, we have a Runson combination cigarette case and lighter. For your wife, Vox Pop and Bromo Seltzer have a mahogany Priscilla. I just found out what a Priscilla is myself. It's a sewing cabinet, and it has little tops that open up on each side, and it's complete with threads and buttons and needles and hooks and eyes. It has the works in it. Also has darning cotton and place to put your socks that she has to darn, too. And because you're such a spider fan, you used to see my pictures, and you like the magazine, we're giving you one of their special double subscriptions. That's one to you and the other to any serviceman that you want it sent to. Thank you very much, Buck Kane. Good luck to you both.
Folks, here's a gunner from one of our Army bomber outfits. And what's he doing on a Pacific Huts broadcast? Well, just that he and his buddies have been living in Pacific Huts up there in the Aleutians somewhere. I don't know where, because he can't tell me, and I'm not asking him. You know, these are the boys that went out and they'd knock over some Japs and then they'd come home to their snug little hut. But let's leave that for a moment. We want you to meet him from Anadarko, Oklahoma. Gee whiz, we're full of Oklahoma folks today. Private First Class, Calvin Douglas. Here he is. Did they call you Cal or did they call you Doug? I know it's one or the other.
Oh, Doug.
Doug, all right. Can I call you Doug?
Yes.
So, Doug, what would you say are the worst pests up there in Alaska and the Aleutians?
Well, Japs, mosquitoes, and weather.
Well, of course, I know the Japs are pests, but I didn't know mosquitoes were so bad up in the cold country like that.
Well, we have some pretty good-sized ones up there.
Well, are they vicious or anything?
No, they're not vicious. Would you like to hear one of the events up there we've had?
Yes, yes.
Well,
a little closer to the microphone.
Well,
we want him to hear it down there in Oklahoma.
One night up there, we had a mosquito. He come in on the runway there, and he landed. And the boys around there pumped 40 gallons of gasoline into him before they realized it wasn't the P-40.
Oh, no. So that'd be, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I guess don't you have to sort of put on landing lights so the darn things can know where to land?
Well, there was a lightning bug right behind him. Lightning.
Well, let's don't get into those tall stories. I don't know. You go too fast for me. Were you up in Alaska and the Aleutians very long?
Yes.
How long? 2 years.
Yes.
How long? You mean you were up there 2 years before you came back
that's
to
right,
this
sir.
Country, huh? Well, you did run into Japs, your squadron, didn't you? Quite
that's
a bit.
Right.
What luck?
Well... What do you mean there?
Well, did you do any good for the old USA?
Oh, yes.
I know they did. You can't talk about that, can you?
I'm afraid not.
All right. Now, the weather is one of the pests you mentioned up there. Tell me about that.
Well, we have rather hazardous weather up there.
I know you do. Cold, sleet, snow, fog, and all like that.
That's
did
right.
you ever live in a Pacific hut?
That's right.
You have, huh?
Yes.
Is it really weatherproof?
That's right, sir.
Is it really stormproof?
That's right.
Do you ever have any termites and stuff in it?
No, I'm afraid not.
How about in cold weather? What's the coldest you ever lived in one of them?
Well, 30 below.
Was it warm?
That's right, it was.
What do the boys really think about it, about a Pacific hut up there?
Well, the boys up there, they think lots of your Pacific huts. And they would, in person, really like to shake hands with all of you.
Well, you can shake hands with the men here after it's over for the boys, because
right.
I know they're proud to see you and get a frontline report on what the job they're doing means to you folks. One other question. Yeah, I know you had a furlough and you went home. Was the same girl there waiting for you left when you left Oklahoma?
Oh, yes.
Oh, she was, huh? Okay, Doug, we're awfully glad to have had you with us. And Bromo Seltz and Vox Pop have got a couple of things for you. One of them, I don't know how to describe it, but it's sort of a mechanical shiver razor. It's just like an electric razor, only it isn't. It's got a gadget in there, you wind it up, and it shivers as you shave, and it's really a nifty thing. I got one the other day, and I love it. And then we've got one of those much sought-after, non-magnetic, shock-proof, self-winding, waterproof wristwatches. We hope you'll like it. Thank you very much, Calvin Douglas. What? All right. Yes, sir, folks, it happens every Monday at this time. Warren and I just say goodnight and travel on. You know, Warren was supposed to go on his vacation when I returned last week, but because of the importance of this broadcast and our next two, we just couldn't let him go.
Well, thanks, Parks. Folks, next time you hear or read about Pacific huts, remember these Seattle people and the grand job they're doing for our fighting men.
For next Monday's Vox Pop, we'll travel to the Hunter Liggett Military Reservation near King City, California.
You know, folks, we've been hearing such wonderful things about the 1st Filipino Regiment there that we thought it's about time those courageous allies of ours were brought into the limelight.
Yes, sir, so don't miss Vox Pop next Monday. We'll be the first to interview these fighting Filipinos, and we'll also have a special message from President Quezon of the Philippines. So good night, folks.
So long, everybody.
This broadcast is not necessarily constituted endorsement of our products by the United States Armed Forces, and they do not endorse any products.
Be sure to join Vox Pop, the show that travels America, next week when it visits the 1st Filipino Regiment at Hunter Liggett Military Reservation. Meantime, whenever you get a common sick headache, nerves on edge, stomach upset, do as our Vox Pop train says and fight headache three ways with Bromo Seltzer. Get it?
Fight headache three ways! Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.